take James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24 for our text this morning, and we will continue with our study on being hearers of the word, or doers of the word, and not hearers only. Today's message is entitled, The Spiritual Mirror. In verse 22, James says, Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So in our last message, verse 22, we found James pressing upon us the responsibility that is commensurate with hearing the word of God. He says, Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. See, hearing the word is only the beginning. Attentive listening must be followed by active obedience. And Christians are to be doers of the word. Doers of the word are those that not just receive the word, but they practice it in their lives. And this is what characterizes a Christian. Now, James, in verse 22, gives us an imperative. It's the present imperative of ginomai, the verb to become. He says, become doers of the word, or keep on becoming doers of the word. It's a linear action. The Christian is to keep on becoming doers of the word. He's not just a doer of the word completely all at once, instantly. He becomes more and more a doer of the word. He's to keep on becoming a doer of the word, and it is a continual duty. We are to habitually submit ourselves to and obey the word of God. Also, we looked at the word hearers and not hearers only, and that's used only here in the New Testament. And hearers is used elsewhere in Greek literature to describe those who attended speeches and those who listened to philosophical lectures. And we noted that we're not coming here to hear a speech or a lecture. We're coming here to hear preaching. We're coming here to hear the Word of God and to receive it as the Word of God. And if it's opened up accurately, and if it's opened up faithfully in this pulpit, then it is not the word of man. It comes to you with the full authority as the word of God. And James now reinforces this exhortation to be a doer of the word with this warning against self-deception. Be not deceived, or not deceiving yourselves. Your own selves. And why is he exhorting us to be careful about self-deception? Because there is a real tendency within the heart of a believer as well as an unbeliever to deceive ourselves in this matter. The word deceive here, paralogizomai, means to deceive by false reasoning. We get the English word paralogism from it, which means essentially illogical reasoning, a misconception based upon a logical fallacy. The fallacy is the disconnection of hearing the Word of God and applying it to the life and being a doer of the Word. These two are inseparable. And if we separate the two, we break this premise and become guilty of a logical fallacy. The result is self-deception. It is evidence that one has completely misconceived the true nature of Christianity if they separate the way they live their life from what they hear about the truth. How foolish it is to think well of ourselves simply because we've attended to a message or we've attended church services. Just because we've heard the Word of God. How foolish it is to be satisfied with the means of grace, but not with applying it to the life. So that's where we left off last time. Today we move on to verses 23 and 24. In verses 23 and 24, the Apostle James gives us a reason for his admonition to be doers of the Word. He uses an analogy, a vivid picture of a person who is a hearer of the Word, but not a doer. It is a negative portrayal. He is likened to a man, James says, beholding his natural face in a glass. He's like a man that looks at his face in a mirror, and after briefly looking at himself, he goes away and forgets what he looked like. The verb beholding his face is a present tense participle, and it indicates that this is characteristic of this person. The character of a mere hearer is summarized in this illustration now in verse 24 by three verbs: looking at himself, going away, and immediately forgetting. That's the analogy. So I first want to consider the mirror, or the glass, as the King James Version translates it. Well, mirrors back then were not mirrors as we know today. Mirrors back then were made out of polished metal, such as polished brass or silver and even gold. And the reflection was often imperfect. However, there was an accurate and adequate enough reflection to gain a good view of yourself. And when we see ourselves in the mirror, it reflects what we look like. It reflects who we really are. And this is what James uses for our analogy. Hearing the Word of God is likened to looking at yourself in the mirror. The Word of God is the mirror. The Word of God is the mirror. And we see our face spiritually speaking. We see the very face of our soul when we look through the mirror, or at the mirror of God's Word. In a literal mirror, we look at those physical features of our face. We see our hair messed up. We see blemishes, acne, freckles, whiskers and the like. And we want to beautify ourselves. The whole point in looking at the mirror is to beautify ourselves. My wife always tells me before I come to church, look in the mirror. Comb your hair. You don't want to look messy in front of people. Use some hairspray. I hate hairspray. But I do it to please her. And it does keep my hair in place. In a spiritual mirror, we see the imperfections
the unpleasant features of our soul. James writes, "He is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror." And the implication is that it needs some attention. The sin of our life disfigures our face. When we see the spiritual features of our souls, we understand that it needs some attention, do we not? The Word of God is that mirror by which we see ourselves as we really are. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is God who searches the reins and the heart. It is God who compasses my path and lying down and art acquainted with all my ways, the psalmist says. The Word of God is the mirror into our souls. It shows us the hidden things of our heart. It shows us the deformities of our soul. Now this verb for behold is used twice in verses 23 and 24. We behold ourselves in this mirror. It's kata noeo is the lexicon form of the word. Kata down, noeo means mind. It's to place our mind down upon. To behold is to fix our mind upon something, to place it down upon something. One commentator says, and it makes sense in this text, is that the mirrors that they looked at were laid horizontally on a table, and they looked down upon it. Not polished metal. But it's to fix our minds upon it, to understand what we see, to take note of it. And in verse 24, it denotes this momentary glance in a negative sense. For he beholdeth himself and goes away. It indicates that this person only looked at himself very quickly. And there is a natural tendency for professing Christians to contemplate the features of their soul carelessly. It's hard to deal with our sin. And the easy way out is to forget about it and not to look in the mirror of God's Word. But when we see something that needs attention. But yet, it's only a brief survey. We spend so little time looking at our spiritual features in the mirror of God's Word. We need to look at them more carefully, that we might work on them, that our spiritual beauty may be increased. You look at the mirror of God's Word with the intent to beautify yourselves. And we need to be more earnest in beautifying the garments of salvation that so adorn us. But also, I want us to consider that this is not only a superficial look, it's a fleeting look. This momentary glance that we see is but for a moment. The Bible says, and he goeth his way. He departs. He sees it and quickly leaves. He departs. He glanced at himself, and then he went off. It's but a very quick look in the mirror. The Word of God is only superficially considered. The power of the word doesn't penetrate into the heart. It goes in one ear and goes out the other. He doesn't look at himself as if it were a matter of importance. This is the picture James is giving us. And so I ask you, how much time do you spend looking at yourself through the mirror of God's Word? I think we are all too ready to depart and go our way as quickly as possible. I think we're all too ready to do that. Well, lastly, as we open up this text, I want to consider the forgetfulness of this man. It's an immediate forgetfulness. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This is what makes one only a hearer. He immediately forgets what he saw in the mirror. All the things that were unpleasant to look at, he straightway forgets, we're told. This describes a careless listener to preaching. Someone who carelessly looks into the mirror. It's but a hasty observation. You may have heard very searching sermons. And you may have been impressed at the time of a sense of your sinfulness, convicted of your sin, and with a determination to mortify that sin. And you're impressed that you need to repent of that sin. But by the time you reach home, the seriousness has left you. You may have immediately forgotten what you heard and what was impressed upon your heart. How many of us can relate to this? How true it is of us. I know when I go home and someone asks me, what was the message about? I'm at a loss. I have to sit there and go, what was it about? Have you ever happened to you? This hasn't been but a couple hours since you heard the message. How prone we are to forget the Word of God. How easily and how quickly does conviction about doing the Word just dissipate? Our Lord, through the prophet Hosea, made a strong statement against Judah. He said, O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. How much does this describe us? This is a searching text of Scripture. James tells us that all that this man saw in the mirror of God's Word is now out of sight and out of mind. And the impulses for reform and sanctification and godliness quickly die. And this man who superficially looked at himself in the mirror of God's Word now continues living his life the way he always has. And the unpleasant features that he saw and was convicted about are immediately forgotten. There is one text of Scripture before we get to our observations that is very pertinent here, and I want you to turn to Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. And it is in regard to our Lord's explanation of the parable of the sower. And he describes for us four classes of hearers of the word.
Now read that, verses 18 through 20. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word. All four of these people are designated as he that heareth the word. The same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and here it is, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Now all of us here can be classified as one of these hearers of the word. Only one of the four designated hearers of the word brought forth fruit. With the other three hearers, the word of God took no root, did not penetrate the heart. Are we such hearers of the word that it bears fruit in our life? And it multiplies 100-fold, 60, 30. I think that's a very pertinent text to put into this message. All of them, all these four, are classified as hearers of the word. Well, let's move on to some observations. Verse 23. In the original language, is a first-class conditional statement. It's a statement of reality. There are those, unnamed by James, who hear the word and have no intention of obeying it. And this is a reality. And if it was true in the days of James, we need to examine ourselves. It's true today. Perhaps there are some professing Christians among us that are mere hearers of the word and not doers. I think that's what James is warning us about. It was true in his day. And your concern should not be, aha, I don't think that guy's obedient to the word. I don't think that guy's a doer of the word. Your concern should be with yourself. Am I a doer of the word? Am I a doer of the word? And ultimately, that's the take-home message for today. Am I a doer of the word? Examine yourself. Secondly, as Christians, we should be very earnest about viewing ourselves through the mirror of God's word. All Christians see themselves through God's word. But will you depart and walk away from it when you see those unpleasant features of your soul? Christians must be earnest about this. We must be doers of the word. And by God's grace and through faith and prayer, we can cleanse ourselves of those spiritual imperfections There is grace in God to beautify yourself. Looking at God's mirror ought to make us diligent and conscientious in beautifying ourselves. Don't just momentarily glance at yourself. Study yourself. Examine yourself. This is why the Puritans had such an influence. Because they looked seriously at their souls. They took their lives seriously. And they understood indwelling sin. And they understood the grace of God. And whenever you read a Puritan's work, it always goes right to the heart. Right to the heart. Ask yourself, what are my besetting sins? What sin of my life needs to be mortified? What sin do I need to repent of? What sins do I need to confess and get right before God? What must I do to beautify my soul into the likeness of God's holiness and conformity to the image of Christ? For it is by God's grace alone that spiritual beauty can be obtained. Now, my last observation, I think, is very important for us, because it shows two different types of people looking at a mirror. The first one looks at the mirror with the eyes of unbelief. That's what James is speaking of. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18, where one looks at the mirror through the eyes of faith and not unbelief.
2 Corinthians 3:18.
This is one that does not look at the mirror and go his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. We read, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we look into this mirror, we don't see necessarily all our deformities. What does it say? We see the glory of the Lord. That's what we see when we look into the mirror here. Truly an amazing passage of Scripture. This person looks into the mirror, sees his imperfections, but by the eye of faith, he sees the outline of the glory of the Lord. And in the context, it's Christ, the image of Christ. Now, Pastor Downey, when he deals with this text, tells us of a mirror that he saw in the British Museum. And on this polished metal is the outline of a pagan god. And so when you looked at yourself at the mirror, you tried to line yourself up with that outline of the pagan god and conform yourself to the pagan god. And I think this is what this verse is speaking about. When we look into the mirror, we're enabled to see the glory of the Lord, and we're changed. We don't say the same. Rather than going our way and immediately forgetting, Paul says we're changed from glory to glory. We're changed into the image of Christ. And there is this progression of one stage of glory to another stage of glory. We're being sanctified.
And so when we look into the mirror, we see our sin and deformities. But we see what God is doing in us. We see what God has already done in us. And He's conforming us to the image of Christ. We see the glory of the Lord at work in us. We have a long way to go. But we've come a long way, have we not? And this word for changed here is metamorpho. We get our English metamorphosis from it. We are continually being metamorphosed by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the source of our transformation. And by the grace of God, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, there is the pursuit of holiness in our life. There is sanctification in our life. We are being purified and becoming more and more like Christ. This is looking at the mirror with the eyes of belief. When you look into the mirror, do you look with unbelief? A quick glance? Quickly depart and forget about it? That's a description of unbelief. Or do you look with the eye of faith and see the glory of the Lord at work in your life, sanctifying you? And the imperfections and the unpleasant features that you see in yourselves are being transformed in the image of Christ. We're being changed. You may look at the mirror of God's Word as in unbelief or in belief, in faith. Compare these two texts of Scripture side by side. What a wonderful contrast it is to the forgetful hearer of James 1, verses 22-24. So in closing, I just would like to say this. Brothers and sisters, take a look at yourself in the spiritual mirror of God's Word. And do this every day. Consider what you see. Don't walk away from it and forget it. Do you see the glory of Christ when you look there? Do you see what God is doing in your life? Do you see the purpose of God in your life? Read the Word. Study the Word. Meditate on the Word. With the purpose and aim of beautifying yourself. Is not that why we look into a mirror? Be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's pray. Close in prayer. Lord, we can relate to how prone we are to take a quick glance, walk away, and forget. How we pray that Your Word would have staying power in our lives, and that we might look at ourselves with the eyes of faith in this mirror of Your Word. Sanctify us, Lord, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Make us to be more like the image of Christ. Adorn us with the doctrines of Christ. Make us gracious and kind and merciful and forgiving and long-suffering and patient. These things, Lord, we pray that they be evident in our lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for your attention.